covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
If you want the whole post-game show, if you want to save some time and you want to get on with the rest of your Sunday, here's the show. The Brewers went 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. There it is. That's it. Wrap it up. Good night. See you tomorrow. I mean, that's the whole story. That's the whole game right there. Brewers fall 5-4 to the Twins. You're asking the pitching staff to be absolutely perfect when you go 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position. For the series, they went 4-for-34 with runners in scoring position. And in fact, the one hit didn't come till they were down to their final out. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. I know they scored four runs. Two of them were on solo homers. This was not the proudest day for the Brewers offense.
Yeah, it really wasn't. You know, you just mentioned it. The 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position, 11 guys left on base, just couldn't get the big hit when they needed to. And it's just kind of been the story with the series, now it allowing the ball club to score some runs. But yet, they had the opportunity in ninth inning. They had tying run on base and wasn't able to get another big hit. But you know what? Those things do happen from time to time. I thought the Twins today at bat were a little bit better off of Gasser. Yesterday you talked about how they've been a free swinging team. I thought today they were a little bit better. We were able to put some runs on the board and keep the lead on the Brewers. And that was really, but the story of the whole game really was Brewers 1-for-14 runners in scoring position.
I mean, even the fact that the Brewers, you know, even the bullpen, the arms they use today aren't their regular leverage arms. Even yet, they were keeping the Brewers in this game. I know Grant Anderson gave up the lead in the fifth with the solo homer by Jeffers, but then he came back and got four of the next five guys out. D.L. Hall kept them in it for his inning plus. Woodford allowed an insurance run in the eighth inning that turned out to be the difference of the game, though. And it was nearly caught by Churio in center, and quite frankly, I think he would tell you he probably should have caught it because he just overran the ball with the wind and how difficult the conditions were at the end of that game today. But nonetheless, the way I see it right now for the Brewers, and we'll talk about this later on in this program, is this bottom third of the order continues to be the story, continues to be the man what if scenario. And I just sit here and I go, with the way they performed as a whole collective, this series, yes, they win the series, and no one should ever complain about winning a series. And we can be disappointed about the fact that they didn't sweep the Twins. But the reality is, this offensive performance against most other teams, especially in the National League, you're probably getting swept. You're probably on the wrong side of this situation. The Brewers pitching held them down and kept them in these games, but there's going to be a real conversation to be had about the bottom third of this order. Great to see Garrett Goyard. Joey reach base three times today, or four times today, was great. But continues to be question marks down there with shortstop, third base, nine hole, eight hole, whatever the Brewers may be. And I think we're kind of reaching that point of reckoning here, Augie. I think we're getting really close to seeing something change.
Well, I think they see that. They notice it. That the top four or five guys in the batting order have been swinging the bat, doing the things that they have to do when they get runners on base, putting the ball in play, doing the things that they have to do to help the Brewers score runs. But you're right. It's been the bottom part of the order that's been struggling. And, you know, like you said today, it was really good to see Garrett Mitchell come up and go yard. Sal got swung the bat a little bit better today. Maybe he's going to turn the corner a little bit, but the production comes with this ball club when they put the ball in play on a consistent basis. And that's not just the top four guys. It's the top nine guys, getting the guys on everybody doing their little bit to score runs and manufacture runs. That's been the success of this team so far this year. And I'll tell you what, now they're having a little bit of an issue at the bottom of the order. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with this big series coming up with the Cubs.
Yeah, we'll preview that toward the latter half of this show as well. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Let's talk a little bit about the pitching, though. Robert Gasser, a bit of a mixed bag today. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. We'll break down his start and the rest of the staff next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall today 5-4 to the Twins. They still take two out of three, and now it's on to Wrigley. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. A lot of excitement for Robert Gasser making his return to the big league roster today, making his first start of the 2026 season at the big league level. A little bit of mixed bag. It was a 40-pitch first inning. He only allowed one run somehow in that inning and then had some poor defense in the third. But finally, four innings, three hits, three runs, only two were earned, two walks, and three strikeouts from Gasser. His pitch count has been limited while he returns from bicep soreness earlier in the AAA season. 80 pitches, 48 strikes. What were the things that jumped out to you about Gasser being back in the big leagues, Augie?
I just didn't think he was as sharp as he usually is. Usually he's the kind of guy that gets in the ball game and can do scrum balls, and he's a strike thrower. And that first inning kind of got him a little bit off. He was just a little bit off, but he battled through it. I thought it was a miracle that he just gave up the one run the way he did. He just really battled, although the pitch count got up there a little bit on him. But he just wasn't as sharp as we usually see him from inning to inning. I thought he finished the last inning going 1-2-3 in the fourth. I thought that was his best thing by far of the day, where he looked like he was executing his pitch a little bit better. It's just got off to a little bit to a rocky start. But I thought the Twins had a little bit different approach to him today. They weren't as aggressive at the plate. I thought they're a little bit more patient with him, made him get pitches over the plate. But he battled through that first and only giving up one in the first, keeping the Brewers in the ballgame, I thought meant a lot.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was, you're right, the not being quite sharp, not being very precise, specifically with his sweeper. I mean, that's his signature pitch. And he only threw 50% of them were strikes today. He only got one swing and miss on that pitch in particular, five total swings and misses on the day. Now, granted, Robert's not necessarily a guy that's up there trying to blow it by you and get a million swings and misses. He does rely on the changing of speeds and getting some whiffs on sweepers and changeups and having you uncomfortable. I mean, how many pop-ups did we see that nearly stayed in the yard or were ultimately caught in foul territory? You're thinking, okay, there's seriously something uncomfortable about this at-bat for the opposing hitter against Robert Gasser. But when you're falling behind as often as he was, I mean, he had a four-pitch walk to open the game. He went from 0-2 to 3-2. He had three hit batters in today's game. You're right, a little off and something just a little bit off kilter about a guy that needs to have command on because he does not have, 96 in the tank to go out there and blow it by you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when you see Gasser pitch, you look over four innings. I think he just had two ground balls today. He's the kind of guy that you see over a four inning period, you're going to see four or five ground balls. He's a ground ball guy that locates the ball and uses his off speed pitches really well. And I just didn't think he was quite as sharp as he wanted to be. And the first inning, he threw a lot of pitches, but he battled. And the one thing I got to give him credit for, he battled. He gave him four innings, and I'll tell you what. The third inning was a little bit of an enigma with the error that happened, and they were able to put two runs on the board. But the story of the game really was for the Twins was their three, four, five hitters. I think they were like 6-for-10. They had four RBIs. They scored three runs. That middle of that order for the Twins really came alive for them today. It really was a big difference in the game for the Twins were able to score five runs.
When I look at what the Brewers do well and what they need to have go in their direction, even with their starters being on such a roll that they're on, and they're allowed to have a blip on the radar like they did today. But the number one thing that they need when they get their best is they just need a lead. And I'm not saying they're not a comeback team, like because they've done it a handful of times this year, but to really unleash their best is they need to have a lead because it's just a different setup. And you look at the last week and a half, the Brewers haven't needed Grant Anderson. The Brewers haven't needed Jake Woodford. D.L. Hall's been a little bit of a mix of both, right, where he's been able to throw in leverage and in multiple innings. I think that when you are making mistakes on your side, and you mentioned that third inning, to set the stage, it was a shot off the wall and left by Cody Clemens that Churio nearly made the great catch on, ricochets away from him. And the runner from first coming around to try and score. Relay from Joey wasn't that bad of a throw, in my opinion. Contreras was trying to do the deke and try to, late tag apply, but the throw was clearly late. William did try to pick it. He didn't try to block it, so it gets by him. And Gasser wasn't blocking or wasn't behind home on the proper side. So, I mean, that mistake, then the ball goes out of play. It's a compounded error where, yeah, it's not a great throw from Joey, but then it's not a great block from William, and then Gasser's not blocking. It's like, and boom, you've lost the lead, and you've lost the chance to play from your strength and play from ahead. And that's the Brewers' biggest benefit, and the biggest thing that they need is just they're a downhill team, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how they're built.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I thought it was a big play with Jasser not backing up properly. I think one thing you always note in a game of baseball, when you're a pitcher, you kind of see where the ball hit. You almost got to go directly behind and you kind of see the flow of where the ball is going to be thrown. It seemed like he broke off to the wrong side earlier and that he just couldn't get over there in time. So, you know, those things do happen. Sometimes you make the error, you just don't go in the right spot. But that turned out to be a big play. We're allowing them to score a couple of runs. I agree with you. I didn't think the ball was that bad of a throw by Joey, and I think what William was trying to do is trying to do a little switch catch there where he's able to snap the tag on the runner and just couldn't handle the ball. But that played big, and they were able to score two runs. And, you know, the middle of that lineup, the Twins lineup, was destroying the ball game, and that's where they scored the runs in that inning. That was a big part of what happened.
There's an easy case to be made that the Brewers could have won this game. I always stop short of saying they should have won this game. But when this whole series was really within one run the entirety of the series. And on paper, that's supposed to favor the Brewers, but it did not in today's ultimate series finale. It's easy to overreact to not getting a sweep. They still win the series. If you win every series in the year, you're winning 96 games. So that's not a big deal. Let's talk about some of the decisions that are looming for the Brewers, including some personnel options, some pinch hit moments in this game. We talked about a little bit of minors yesterday. We're going to have to talk about it again today. Brewers fall 5-4 to the Twins. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall today 5-4. Do a little buy or sell. Talk about some of the decisions in this game. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Alex from Oshkosh. Brewers missed some opportunities, but still win the series. Trying to take on the Cubs tomorrow. This one from Doug. Another one-run game, this time the other way. Bound to happen, but I will take 2 out of 3 despite only getting 9 runs. And when we do a little buy or sell here, there's the two situations that I really have highlighted here, Augie. First of all, this was actually talked about from Pat Murphy that we'll play a little bit later on in the show, but the opportunity in the second inning. The Brewers have already tied the game after Sal Frelick's RBI double. With one out, there are runners on second and third, and David Hamilton at the plate, and he's bunting with one out. It's a safety squeeze situation, but Hamilton failed to bunt it away from the pitcher. Oberg fielded the ball, looked Frelick back, and got Hamilton out at first base. Churio ultimately flied out to end the inning. That's the first decision I'm going like, I understand he's your 9-hitter. I understand he's got speed for days, but I'm just still a little surprised with one out. I know if he gets that bunt down, he's likely not necessarily automatic to get on first base. But I'm just sitting here going, throwing my hands in the air. It's like, well, in the second inning, if you're asking your 9-hitter to bunt, is this 2018 National League or what? Like, I just feel like a little lost in time. You're like, let's let the kid swing the bat.
I agree with you. I think it depends on situations. We've seen what Hamilton can do, and I think you put it perfectly when you say, there's a guy who can really bunt. He really puts down a bunt. That time wasn't bunt properly. He's got the speed to burn, and he always makes things happen. I think that's what he was trying to do in that situation. But when you get early in the ball game and you got runners on second and third, you want to put that ball in play. You want to swing the bat, try to drive the ball to the outfield, drive it through the infielders, do something. He's a tough guy to double up anyway, but just runners on second and third, you're not going to get a double play. But it just seemed like at that situation, probably a preference would be is let's try to put the ball in play and let's try to get maybe a couple runs out of it rather than trying to safety squeeze and get another run.
Yeah, I mean, the worst case scenario is what happened there where he bunts and the runners don't move and there's two outs. It's the same as if he struck out, the same as if he hit a hot grounder to first with the infield in, right? I mean, or the contact plays on and something crazy could happen. I don't know what that is. So I'm selling the situation, just let him swing. But then again, it kind of comes to this, you know, point where I'm throwing my hands in the air. I had looked up these numbers before the game today and I just want to bring them up to you. I mean, I remember last season we were talking about the platoon at third base not really working out between Oliver Dunn and Vinny Capra, and it was much worse the numbers wise in a much shorter amount of time. And remember, the team was under 500, so you know there's a little bit more urgency to create something. But look, I'm just gonna be blunt, I'm just gonna give the numbers here, Augie. When it comes to wins above replacement, third base is negative. When it comes to OPS, they're in the bottom five in all of baseball. When it comes to power, there's one homer between the two of Renjifo and Hamilton. Jet Williams has a triple and a homer tonight. He's got an OPS that's over 1,000 in May. And last year at this time, we were thinking, call up Caleb Durbin, call up Caleb Durbin. And he did in April. I'm sitting here. I'm like, let's do it. It's time. Let's bring up Jet Williams.
That's a really great statement, Dom. When you talk about production, and we saw what happened last year. We were getting the same style of production out of third base. It's such an important part. Usually you want your third baseman to be a guy who can not only field the ball, play a good solid third base, but drive in some runs, give you a little bit of power, put the ball in play. And we saw that last year when they brought up Durbin. But, you know, you're looking at a situation now where you're getting to the part of the season when you've seen it and you've seen what has happened. Yeah, Renifo has had a couple good games last week, had a really pretty good week swinging the bat. But production has to be more consistent out of second, out of third base. That is a position where you need a guy to hit with some power or hit for average and drive people in, putting the ball in play, and the Brewers are not getting that right now. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and then it comes down to the other decision I wanted to point out here, too, was this is where it's hard to be a manager, and I just want to give Murph a little bit of saving grace here, but you get a leadoff double from Jake Bowers, left on left, mind you, against Taylor Rogers, and you had a conundrum. Do you pinch hit for Sal Frelick, or do you pinch hit for Garrett Mitchell, given Sal had already had a double and a single in the game? I can understand why he didn't do it, but if you had gone to Andrew Vaughn there, then you guarantee Vaughn getting an at-bat against a lefty because Rogers hadn't faced the minimum of three batters yet. But I could also see the argument saying, hey, hot hand fallacy. Sal's your best chance to put a ball in play, and Sal's left-handed. He's supposed to pull that baseball. Instead, he hits a ground ball to third. Bowers isn't able to advance when this is still a one-run game. Then they go to Vaughn, and they ultimately couldn't get the run scored. Again, the first segment saying the Brewers went 1-for-14 with runners scoring position. That's part of the situation there, but the mind of a manager is really hard to make decisions like that in the real time. I think if I was in Murph's shoes, I actually probably would have done the same that he did. It was a matter of Sal not executing, getting the runner over to third.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think when you look at here, I think what Murph was thinking is Sal is just swinging the bat good today. You know, he's had some good at-bats lately and probably just wanted to see what he could do in that situation. And he's just kind of guy that you know he's going to put the ball in play. He's going to battle up there, put the ball in play. Just unfortunately where he hit the ball to the third baseman and they weren't able to advance. But, you know, I think in that situation, I agree with you. I think it was when Murph was saying that, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of confidence in Sal here. See if he can get that run over. He understands what he needs to do. Sal just wasn't able to execute at that time, and it really cost the Brewers.
All right. Well, I guess we shouldn't wait until the third segment to mention the fact that, hey, Christian Yelich and Garrett Mitchell both hit home runs today, and that's certainly some great news. And Jake Bowers got robbed by the wind of a home run today, too. So you're certainly seeing signs from the core guys of Yelly being back in the lineup. That's huge. Garrett, 115 off the bat. Hello. And Jake Bowers continues to rake. He extends his on-base streak to 18 games.
There's no question. I tell you, you see this lineup, like it had today when you're facing really, I know they're 1-for-14 at runners in scoring position. Not a good day for the offense, but you see when they got Garrett Mitchell in the game and Sal Frelick, and you know, you have Jake Bowers hitting the ball. He's such an important part today, just sculling the ball all day long and was very productive for the Brewers. So this ball club against a right-hand pitcher has a really good lineup. It seems where they struggle again is through a left-hand pitcher where they have to make some adjustments to the lineup. It's going to be interesting against the Cubbies from what kind of decisions they make because they're going to start out with a lefty, I think, tomorrow. So it's going to get interesting. But I really like this ball club against a right-hand pitcher. Having Garrett Mitchell in the lineup, being healthy, and having Jake Bowers swinging the bat like he is right now is so important. So it's going to get interesting as we see what they do in the several games coming up.
All right. Well, that's our buy or sell segment. It's brought to you by our friends at Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. All right, rivalry renewed this week. Rest up. Get ready to go, Augie. We got three big ones down at Wrigley this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series. You got two teams coming off of tough losses. You know, and this is a series that everybody's been kind of waiting for. These two ball clubs, yes, it is a rivalry. Let's not hold anything against it. It is a rivalry. So three fun games to watch. It all starts tomorrow night.
It will be fun. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We will have some more lineup thoughts. We'll also have some buy or rather some hot and cold of pointing out really how ridiculous it's been for Jake Bowers lately. Back in a moment after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall 5-4. Let's do a little hot and cold and give some love to Jake Bowers. Hot and cold brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With summer heat coming fast, don't get caught without a working AC when you need it most. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $25 off AC tune-ups, but it's only through the end of May, so don't wait. Appointments are filling fast, so act now. Visit SEIDER.com to schedule your tune-up before it's too late. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. It is a loud streak right now for Jake Bowers, and even today, he could have been 3-for-4. The wind held up a ball that he crushed at, I think it was like 109 off the bat, that he didn't get anything out of it, a fly out in the fourth inning. But nonetheless, 2-for-4 today, including a walk as well, and the only hit with the runner in scoring position. That was in the ninth, a leadoff double in the eighth, too. And now it continues an 18-game on-base streak because he knows the value of a walk. This goes all the way back to the Detroit series on April 21st. And bringing up the numbers here, I mean, where I said this on Friday, where would the Brewers be without Jake Bowers right now, especially during Andrew Vaughn's absence with his broken hamate bone? Over Bowers' 18-game on-base streak, .338 batting average, .931 OPS. He's a .345 during this stretch, too. 9 doubles, a homer. He's got 9 walks. Yes, he's got 18 punch, but who cares when you still got 77 plate appearances and that heavy of a slash line to this point. He is certainly hot. He needs to stay in this lineup for every single day. And I think the Brewers are kind of getting to that point here, especially against right-handed pitching. We won't see it tomorrow with Shota Imanaga on the mound on the other side, but I wonder when we're going to see Jake Bowers in left field on days that Vaughn is at first. Because with Yelich back in the order and him assuming the DH role, right, that means generally you're going to have one or the other. And there's no perfect lineup where, okay, all 9 guys are premium defenders, all 9 guys are power hitters. There's no such thing. You have to pull the levers to say, okay, if I get a little more offense here, I'm going to lose a little bit of defense here, or maybe I lose a little bit of contact here, but I get a little bit more power here. And I really do believe the optimum lineup for the Brewers includes all of the following. It includes Yelich as the DH. It includes Vaughn at first base. It includes Bowers in left field. It includes Contreras behind the plate. It includes Terang at second base, right? Those 5 guys, and then we'll throw in Jackson Chourio. And in this situation, Churio's playing center field. That is 6 bona fide, experienced hitters on this team. They have not been all in the lineup at the same time together this season. All 6 of them. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's 2 first basemen, Dom. And with Yelich back and all the injuries, I get that. But I think you're at a point in this season that those 6 guys need to be in the lineup as much as possible. And I want to see more of Jake Bowers. I want to see more of Andrew Vaughn. I want to see more of Terang having opportunities with runners aboard or having opportunities for Yelich hitting a home run today too. And then that leaves those bottom 3 to be, you know, some combination of Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, your shortstop, and third base, right? Some combination of that. And I think the Brewers have the personnel to do that. And when they call up Jet Williams, that could make that decision a lot easier, given his versatility. Jake Bowers has versatility. I wonder what they would do. I just think that you're at this point where you need to do something different on the left side of the infield. We've got enough of a sample size. It's not a large sample size. But I really do think the Brewers have the talent, whether it be Cooper or Jet Williams. But I think they want to take their time with Cooper. Jet was probably going to make the Mets before he was traded, right? And I think you're at this point now. It's like, let's see it. Let's do it. The Mariners have called up Colt Emerson. The Mets have called up A.J. Ewing. Obviously, J.J. Weatherholt has been a stud for the Cardinals. But we'll keep an eye on it. It could happen sooner as opposed to later. Good text question here. I want to get to the other side talking about some starting pitching. We'll get to that on the other side of the break as the Brewers fall 5-4 to the Twins here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Get to our player of the game as well. We'll hear text line. We'll hear from Pat Murphy too. Brewers fall today 5-4. and a good text here as well. But first, let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Doug in Baraboo. Doug, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good afternoon, Dom. I don't know if Augie's still with you or not, but yeah, I like your what you propose for lineups. Just the pitching, though, has been unbelievable. We have the best ERA in our division, and we're right up towards the top in all of baseball. And that's to me, that's something that's going to keep us in there. Getting into that hitting again, just today, I would have liked to have seen Mitchell bat, and the other thing is that would have left him in center field for that ball that went out there. A little more speed. I don't know if he would have got it or not, like Chirio didn't. But then that would have had Chirio out there in left field, and then that tag up, that would have had Chirio throwing that ball in from left field. Last night you were talking about some texts about that the hitting is there was no hitting, but actually a couple weeks ago I think we were batting like 231. And almost at the bottom of the league, and now we're kind of in the middle of the mix. We're going in today, we're batting like 240. So that, I mean, it's coming along, and the guys are starting to hit with a little power. I do like again your lineup, and just to be a little optimistic, back in 1961 on this date, Roger Maris only had four home runs, and he had a pretty good year that year. Taking over Babe Ruth's record.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate the call there, Doug. There's certainly plenty of time left in this season. And you look at this offense, right, to see Garrett hit 1-115, to see Yelich hit his second of the season, you know there's more in the tank for Vaughn and for Bowers. And Churio's just getting his season started, having played now 11 games since he's come off the injured list. There's certainly power on this club. They just haven't been all together at the same time. But on your note on the pitching there, Doug, appreciate the call. This is also a texter. You know, now that we've seen most of the big league ready starters start a game in 2026, what is the best five that the Brewers can have when that time comes? Now, I am including Brandon Woodruff on this five. I'm not ranking them in any order per se, but I'm assuming if Woodruff's healthy, he's in my five. But for the sake of this exercise, let's just do the guys that are going to be, under team control that'll be here next year. And I'm going to exclude Quinn Priester because of the unknowns about his injury and his slow rehab process that he's been going through. But Miz is an obvious one. Kyle Harrison is another one. I love what I've seen so far from Brandon Sproul. I just see there's so much talent oozing there. I personally also keep Logan Henderson in my rotation. And then finally, I'm actually in this weird in-between where I love Shane Drouin as a starter more than as a reliever. I'm keeping Chad Patrick in my bullpen. I think that one day Coleman Crowe could be very useful out of the bullpen. But that's just my five, and that's just one man's opinion. But again, I've got Miz, I've got Harrison, I've got Sproat, I've got Shane Drouin, and then I've also got Logan Henderson. Those are my five of the young guys that will be here next year, excluding Woodruff, excluding Priester, of what I'm excited about from this pitching staff that could be the best five the Brewers have. And let's hope for health for Woody and Priester sooner as opposed to later. Let's go ahead and hear from the manager, though, Pat Murphy, after today's defeat to the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think those ones you regret, and just that, you had a chance to win. You had a chance to break it open at some point. We never got that big hit. I mean, Bauer swinging the bat. He probably has two home runs on a different day. He was tremendous today. It's great to see Yelly back swinging it closer, to being really on time and on it. We did a lot of good things, and Gas wasn't sharp, obviously, with all the free bases, hit by pitches. How many did he hit? Three?
Two.
He hit two, and how many did he walk?
Hit three.
Walked how many?
Two.
So five free bases in four innings, that's not it. But he knows better, and hopefully it'll be better.
When he gets to 40 in that first inning, how many do you think he'll get out of him? I mean, did he give you something by getting through four?
I mean, he did give us something by getting through four. That was key that he responded, but, you can't give up five free bases and pitch in the big leagues in four innings. So,
Yeah. Is there anything mechanical you saw there, or something the Twins was just not expanding?
He didn't throw the ball over the plate. I didn't see. I didn't break down and look at the video. I didn't break down the mechanics. I just look at it like the ball on the inner rail was always either hitting somebody or a ball. He's got to land that pitch. Breaking balls. I think all three hit by pitches were on a breaking ball down and into a right-hander. I think that can't happen. So he pitched well enough otherwise to keep us in the game. We were definitely in the game. We just didn't get the big hit with two outs. Plenty of chances. What were we runners in scoring position? One for 14. And we lead the league in that, right? Second. We should be third now.
Yeah. But you always talk about, right, creating that traffic and the pressure, and
yeah,
you gave yourself opportunities.
Yeah, and guys like Bowers. I mean, those two balls are mm-hmm. out of most days at 105, and whatever the thing is usually homers. So we hit some balls good and got nothing for it. But again, we didn't play good defense. We didn't back up. Gasser didn't back up home. That's a run. Obviously, we didn't catch the ball in the ninth inning there that Jack Deck didn't have to slide, popped out of his glove.
Did he say anything, Murph, about not backing up home? Is that a case where a guy's probably thinking about?
Doesn't matter. You're backing home. You do that in high school. You know, you back up home. You get in the same angle, the throw's coming, you back up home, you catch that ball. They don't advance another base, the next guy's out, see you later.
I think the throw's going to third.
Doesn't matter, he was on the mound. There's no backup there. Yeah, so some of those mental mistakes, some of the Hamilton not getting the bunt down, the man on third, like batting it back to the pitcher, like, you know, it's just not, for a guy that's his art, you know? It's not acceptable. So we got to get better. We know that.
All in all, it's kind of unusual for your team to have all those
defensive miscues. Those moments, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's it is unusual. It hurt. Those are the types of things that hurt, because you work on those things so much. You pride yourself. The team that you have plays defense. Base runs. So when you don't do base running or defense, which is going to happen, but you know, I'm always looking for ways to improve. So not down in the club. I trust them. I told you that from the beginning. I love it that guys are back playing. The young pitching staff has been unbelievable. Today we didn't really get the pitch leverage guys, so to speak, but they did a nice job all in all.
Yeah, and again, like we were talking about, you go 1 for 14 and leave 11 on base. It does not matter who is pitching. You're probably not going to win that game, and it was a minor miracle the Brewers made this a one-run game in the ninth inning, and they were as close as they were as long as they were. But nonetheless, they fall 5-4. You know, as for a pick for who's player of the game, for me, it's got to be Jake Bowers. You know, 2-for-4 with a double and an RBI in the ninth. You could also give a nod to Garrett Mitchell for his homer, or for Yelly for his homer, but I'm going to go to Jake Bowers. He's our International Autos Group Player of the Game. You can slide into International Autos and drive into summer in style. You can save $15,000 on select in-stock models. You go to iamilwaukee.com. Again, iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Our sponsor for Player of the Game. Highlights coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this? This
brought it back.
And this,
it is gone.
Time for tonight's highlights.
Robert Gasser back in the big leagues for the Brewers. It would not be a pleasant start to this start for him. It took 40 pitches for him to get through the first, but thankfully only allowed one run on an RBI double by Cody Clemens. But the Brewers wouldn't waste any time getting that run back. A leadoff walk in the second off Bailey Ober starting for the Twins. And Sal Frelick made him pay.
The pitch lined into right field. This ball is dropping quickly. A diving attempt by Martin. He comes up empty. It rolls into the corner. Brewers are going to run a while. Bowers around third. He's going to score. Stopping at second is Frelick. It's an RBI double, and the Brewers have tied it at one.
All right, a little punch back, avoid the shutdown inning, but with a man on second and nobody out, the Brewers would fail to score Sal, which would be a theme for the rest of the game. Two runs would score for the Twins in the third on a Little League homer by Cody Clemens. It was a ball off the wall and left that Churio fielded the ricochet. The relay went offline and then went out of play. There was a missed backup opportunity for Gasser, but he would still get through four innings, only allowing those three runs, two of them being earned. Needed a response in the fourth, though. How about Garrett
Here's
Mitchell?
Pitch fly deep to right. Back goes Austin Martin. He's going to watch it go up and out of here. Garrett Mitchell demolishes one. A right center field home run, and the Brewers are back within one. 3-2 Twins in the fourth. It was going to take a Herculean blast to get one out of here today, and Garrett provided just that.
It was all about the wind in today's game at Target Field. Bowers hit a ball that got chewed up by the wind, so that made it all tied up at the time. And then in the bottom of the fifth inning, a response from the – or I should say we move on to the fifth inning as the Brewers are down 3-2. Christian Yelich back in the lineup after dealing with some back soreness. He gets back in the box score.
No pitch, and Yelich, a fly ball, right center field. This ball's back there. Bye-bye, baseball! Christian Yelich, welcome back to the lineup. We are tied at three on the second long ball of the season from number 22.
Good vibes would not last long as Jeffers then hit a home run in the bottom of the fifth inning to give the Twins the lead back 4-3. The Brewers had an opportunity in the sixth. They left two stranded. They had an opportunity in the eighth. They left two stranded. And in the ninth, it was just too little too late. A one-out walk to Bryce Terang. A chopper single for William Contreras brought the winning run or the go-ahead run to the plate. Yelich would strike out, but Jake Bowers would stay hot.
First offering to Jake, and a liner past the diving glove of Clemens and into right field. Terang's around third. He's going to score. On his way to third is Contreras. The Brewers are within a run here in the Twin Cities.
But that would be the final, as Sal Frelick would pop out to end the game, and the Brewers fail to get the sweep, but they still take 2 out of 3 in the border battle. We'll preview Wrigley coming up next. The Brewers got a big test coming back after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, final couple minutes of the show. Thanks to everyone who listened over the weekend. We got plenty more coming as well. All three games at Wrigley, we got a post-game show. All three games begin at 6:40. Knock on wood, weather permitting. We got some weather coming to the Midwest this week. So we'll see if the friendly confines can make sure they stay dry this week, too. Thank goodness we got today's game in, though. That's for sure. That was enjoyable. But the Brewers will send the young studs, the young arms are on the way getting introduced to the rivalry. Brandon Sproat pitching for the first time in this rivalry. He gets the ball tomorrow against Shota Imanaga. Then on Tuesday, Ben Brown for the Cubs, Jacob Mizorowski for the Brewers. He's facing them a couple of times already this season. He's had mixed bag of results against the Cubbies so far. And then on Wednesday, it'll be the key trade acquisitions for both teams. Kyle Harrison for the Brewers and Edward Cabrera for the Cubs. Looking forward to this week at Wrigley. And let's all just, you know, let's like be Bart on the chalkboard here real quick, you know, where we're going to write it out a million times. A serious decision made does not decide the division in either direction, okay? If the Brewers sweep them, everybody will be happy. It doesn't mean anything. It's helpful for sure, but you can't put the cart ahead of the horse. I just remind you how much we were all feeling down and in the dumps a little bit about when the Cubs had won 2 out of 3 here at Wrigley in the first week of May last season. And like, oh, well, it's going to be the Cubs division, right? Like, well, turns out you got to play the full season for a reason. And a lot could change. And I just sit and look at both of these teams. They match up very, very well. The Cubs are maybe the best defense ever. They have a solid starting rotation, decimated by injuries right now and in their bullpen too. But you never know. That's why you play the games, and you play the games on dirt. So I'm really looking forward to this week down at Wrigley. And then it's another off day on Thursday before the Brewers begin a big homestand against the Dodgers and the Cardinals. A couple of back-to-back competitive teams, and the Cardinals coming out of nowhere. And it's been quite the week in Busch Stadium as they dismantle the Royals in their rivalry series. They had won the first two of that series, and checking the scoreboard today, they got shut out 2-0 by the Royals. But nonetheless, Cardinals are playing some really good baseball. So are the Brewers. So is the rest of the division, for that matter. And it's more fun when the whole division is playing well. In fact, the White Sox actually just took 2 out of 3 from the Cubs earlier today. A walk-off homer by Edgar Caro in the bottom of the 10th as the White Sox win the series in the first edition of the Crosstown Classic this year. That is going to do it for our program here on this Sunday fun day. Not so fun as the Brewers fall by a 5-4 score, but a big week awaits at Wrigley Field. We hope you tune in here again. We're on the air at 6:05 for all three games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all night games at Wrigley. A little bit of an oddity in the schedule, but that means we get to have post-game shows after all three games, and then we'll react to all of it with Brewers Weekly coming up on Thursday. Thank you so much for listening. Our producer has been Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.